We are in our last message of soil issues, and I'm excited about delivering the message this morning. Hope that God will speak through you. Most people in this church know that I play soccer at Carleton University, both in the fall and in the winter time. I've been doing that since 2012 when I joined the league with this intramural league with my buddy Jonathan Hutchinson, who's the pastor over at Peace Tower. And over the years, we have gone from just being two guys on this random team to being a team of mostly players from CPC and Peace Tower. A number of the guys in the church here play on our team, and it's a great time for us to get out there and have fun. When we first started, we did really well. There was a time we actually got to the semifinals in the A division. And this year we're not doing so well. I think what it is that we're getting older. At least I'm getting older. I notice it each week we play that I don't have the speed to run against the guys who are half my age. I'm a little bit heavier, I think, than when I was when I first started in 2012. And so there are some elements that are making me a poor soccer player. But about 2 years ago, we were going into a match, and I think this was the year that we had done really well, and we were in the A division. And every Tuesday when we play, I have to think seriously about what I'm going to eat before I go out. I pay more attention to it now. But this one night, Ainsley made this beautiful mega dinner. I mean, it was roast beef, potatoes, veggies. I mean, I think there was pie that night. And I didn't just have one helping, I had two helpings. I mean, it was so delicious, I just thought, this is great, I'm gonna fuel up with lots of energy. Well, we got out into the field that day, and I went out there for about 5 minutes and got severe pains right about here. And I'm running down the field, and I'm barely able to move. I mean, the guys that are around me are half my age, and we're on the sideline, and Kurt Portis and Dave Kwapis are making fun of me, bugging me about the meal. Do you think, Jeff, that was helpful that you ate that huge meal? Do you think that you should have had seconds? And so since that time, they have bugged me from time to time whenever I play poorly about my meal or asking about what we've eaten, because you've got to prepare yourself if you want to do well. My buddy Jonathan, who plays on our team, he had gained some weight as a senior pastor over the last few years. And this summer, he determined that he was going to lose some weight, and he went off sugar completely. He went solely on fruits, and he began to bike to work on a regular basis. He lost a considerable amount of weight, and he came into the soccer season able to run as fast as the young 18-year-olds. He was able to make some quick cuts because he had conditioned himself, not like I did 2 years ago when I had that big meal. He conditioned himself for success. We all understand that if we're going to be successful in life, we've got to condition ourselves. We've got to do certain things. Eating a big meal for a soccer game is not proper conditioning. Eating fruits, biking to work every day, that's proper conditioning for the best success within soccer. Everything we do, everything in life, requires that we condition ourselves if we want to see success. The same is true spiritually. You see, spiritual growth doesn't just happen. Success in our spiritual life doesn't just happen by accident, but spiritual growth comes from the proper conditions within our life. We've been going through the parable of the sower, and I want to look at all three of the Gospels, just the one last verse that Jesus ends this parable with, because as he shares the conclusion of the parable of the sower and the seed, we actually discover that he talks about conditioning ourselves for growth. So let's look at the passages on the screen. In Matthew's account, we read, "But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." Then Mark's account, he says, others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. And I want to look at this verse in Luke. This is Luke's version of the same parable. And he says this, "But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop." Who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Jesus is laying the conditions for which growth takes place in our life. Friends, I just want to lay this out to you just for a moment. The truth is that even if you come on a Sunday and you're faithful week after week, that doesn't mean that God's word's growing inside of you. It doesn't mean that just because you listen to a message or you read your Bible that there's actual growth taking place. We've examined that over the last few weeks talking about this parable. Jesus is standing before this crowd of Galileans, and he's sharing this parable, and they're quite intrigued by what he's been sharing. And he gets to the end, and he says there's a seed that will land on some really good soil where the conditions of the soil are ready for growth, where the conditions of the soil will produce success. He says, listen, I want you to know that if you have the right conditions, if you have the right preparations for your good soil, there's potential for growth that can be 30-fold, 60-fold, or even 100-fold. That if you take the word that's in your life and you let it get into good soil, some of you will have 30-fold growth, exponential, but 30-fold. Some 60, and some 100. Now, the listeners at the time are probably thinking to themselves, wow, we understand farming, we understand planting. If we plant a seed, we expect a certain amount of exponential growth. 30 is pretty decent. 60, oh, that's a good year. Oh, but 100-fold, is there potential that I put the seed in the ground and I get 100 times what that one seed looked like? That 100 times the amount of one seed. Is that possible? And I can imagine these Galileans sitting there thinking to themselves, man, sign me up. That's the kind of farming situation I want to be part of. And Jesus spoke to them and said, this isn't really about farming. This isn't really about agriculture. This is about the conditions of your heart. When you have the right conditions of your heart in place, friends, I want you to know that you can have 34-fold growth within your life. That you can have 60-fold growth within your life, that you can have 100-fold growth in your life, that if you would have the right conditions within your heart, that God can do exponential things with inside of you. Exponential. You see, God doesn't just want to put a seed in your life and have one stalk coming out. He wants it to be exponential. He wants to use your life in fullness, abundance. That's always the touch of God. He places his hand upon something, and what man would only produce one more of, he produces exponentially. If we would have the right conditions within our heart. And so, what are the conditions that we need to see this kind of growth? He says here, retain, persevere. So let's look at the first one here. The first thing that you need is to think carefully. Here, think carefully. Now when we first read this in the Bible, we think to ourselves, listen, I hear every week. I come to church and I hear Pastor Jeff preach every week. I'm hearing. But it's not just a surface-level listening. There's an element within this word that means to think carefully, to consider what's being said. There's a difference between merely listening and thinking about what's being said. Now, I want to illustrate this just for a moment. Many of you might not realize, but that there are really two forms of the English language. I'm not sure you've ever been taught this in school. I don't think I was ever taught it, but as I was preparing this message, I've came to the conclusion that there are two forms of the English language. There is the female form and the male form. Same language, but there's the female version of it and the male version of it. Let me show you. Let's look at the first slide. There are times when my wife will say this to me, I miss you. There are times she'll text me and she says, I miss you. Now, when I first hear it, I mean, it's English, same words. I think to myself, oh, that's so sweet. She's just being cute. But what this really means is this next slide. I miss you means we haven't spent much time together. She's trying to communicate something to me. I mean, I can listen and hear the words, I miss you, and think, oh, that's just cute. She's trying to communicate something to me. How about this next one? We haven't spent much time together. We haven't spent much time. Now, this one happens all the time in our home. Ainsley will say to me, Jeff, we haven't spent much time together. I'm like, Ainsley, we just had all last night together. I was home all night, didn't have anything. We had the whole evening together. What are you talking about? Well, but this is what it translates to. We haven't spent much time together means you've not given me attention. We've been in the same room, but you've been on your iPad. You've been distracted by something at work. Yeah, we were in the same car driving to the same place, but I was talking to you. You didn't even know I was talking. Same language, Speaking the same thing, but two different things. How about this one? It doesn't matter. Let me show you a translation. It doesn't matter means it matters a lot. I mean, seriously, there are times that my wife asks me, I ask my wife something, I say, hey, do you mind if I go out and do whatever, you know, go play an extra game of soccer on our day off? Doesn't matter. I mean, the English language, same language, I'm hearing it, but I got to think carefully about what she's saying. Because what she's saying isn't what she's saying. I just wish, just communicate clearly to me. Tell me what you're saying. But she wants me to think carefully about it. It doesn't matter, Nick. You need this big time, so take notes. It doesn't matter means it matters a lot. How about this next one? I've been cleaning all day. I come home and I was like, how was your day? I've been cleaning all day. Okay, it means you're in charge of dinner. She's been cleaning all day. She doesn't want to do the dinner. She wants me to take care of it. But I'm thinking she just wants me to compliment her. But no, she wants me to take care of the dinner. How about this last one? I'm angry with you. This translates to, I'm angry with you. Simple. We got that one down. You see, English language, but two different things. I can hear the words that she's speaking, but I've got to think carefully about what she's trying to communicate. And what Jesus is saying to the crowd is that when we hear the word, it's not just about listening to the words that are coming across from the speaker, but we need to think carefully about what the speaker, what the Spirit through the speaker is trying to get through to us. The message. What is the Holy Spirit trying to say today? What's he trying to say as you're reading your word? What is it that you need to be thinking carefully about? I love this passage in Philippians 4, verse 8. Let me just pause for a second. I want to lay two things out to help you think carefully. The two things that you need to grab hold of when it comes to thinking carefully are the reason something's being said and the expectation of what is to follow what's being said. You see, every time my wife communicates something to me, there's a reason that she's communicating. She doesn't just say, hey, I've been cleaning all day. There's a reason that she's communicating. I'm tired. What's the reason she's communicating? And then what's the expectation? Philippians 4, verse 8 talks about how we're supposed to think. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are just, if there be any truth, blah, 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 think on these things. We hear it. And you've heard me talk about it, that we need to think upon pure things. We hear the message and we go, yeah, that's right, Pastor. We need to think about the things, or we need to pay attention to the things we think about. But what's the reason that Paul's writing this to the Philippian church? The reason is that if we don't think on pure things, then we'll become unsatisfied in our Christianity. If we don't think on pure things, then we'll start to have lust that will grow into deep sin. If we don't start to think on pure things and holy things and true things, then we will become unthankful. If we don't think about pure things, then we will have our minds bound on things and not be able to hear the things that God wants us to think upon. If we don't think on pure things, we miss out upon what Christ has for us. There's a reason to it. And each Sunday and each time you go into your own devotional time, as you get engaged with the Word, you don't just read or just hear. You've got to think carefully. What's the reason that God's saying this to me? What's the reason this is being communicated to me? Secondly, not only what's the reason, but what's the expectation? Like friends, every Sunday the message gets communicated and we hear it. But here's my question is, what's God's expectation on your life after a message? What's the expectation? Because he's not putting things in my heart or in any speaker's heart that's just thrown out there. There's an expectation of change within our lives. A few months ago, Ainsley started to hear this weird sound in the back of her car. I thought it was a bearing, and I thought, okay, we'll get to it. And she communicated this. There's a weird sound in my car. Really, really simple. It's like, yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. I'll take care of it. Month went by. Jeff, that sound's getting louder. Yeah, I know. I'll take care of it. I just got to find a moment in my schedule. Then another month. This is a long story, but the bottom line is this. It got louder and louder and louder until last Thursday, a week ago Thursday, I get a phone call from Ainsley. She's between here and Rockland, coming back from Rockland on the highway, and her tire has gone flat. And so I went out on a rainy day, and I couldn't move her nuts. I couldn't unloosen her nuts because of the tool that the car came with, and so I had to drive back into Orleans to get another tool, and came back, and I took it off. And as I took off the tire, I saw that inside the tire was completely torn apart. Most likely the belt went on it, but the belt likely went months ago, and it was just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Every time she would hear the sound, she would say to me, "There's a sound in my car." I knew why. I knew the reason that she was communicating, because she wanted me to pay attention to a problem. But the expectation was what I was ignoring. Her expectation was that I would take the car to the garage and get it fixed immediately so she wouldn't be on the side of the road with a flat tire. But friends, all I did was I just barely listened. I didn't pay attention to the expectation. When it comes to responding to the Word of God, God doesn't want you just to listen to the message. He wants you to understand His expectation. He wants you to know that there's something that needs to change within your life. If you're going to see growth happen, you can't just have the words come in your ears, but you need to understand both the reason why He's communicating it and the expectation He has for your life. You preach about tithing and people go, "Oh, that's a great teaching, Pastor Jeff, but what's the expectation upon you?" I preach about holiness. Oh, great, great preaching. But what's the expectation upon you when you leave this place? I preach about worship. Oh, that was a good message, Pastor Jeff. But what's the expectation every time you come into the service? What's the Spirit of God trying to say to you? Because if all you do is hear it and compliment it and go, "That was good," and walk away, you haven't thought carefully about how it's going to change who you are. We've got to know the reason. And we've got to know the expectation of God upon what He's just communicated. Think carefully. Number two, not only do we need to think carefully, but we need to keep securely. Keep securely. Jesus says, hear the word, and then retain it. Retain it. To keep securely, to prevent from going away, to hold fast, to hold that word. To hold that word. You see, why we pull the word in is because we have great value on the word. Let me ask you a question. You don't need to respond. But I know we value coming to church, or else we wouldn't come each Sunday. But how much do you value the word? Because if you value the word, you will hold it dear to your heart. You will keep it so close to you. You will make sure that what's just been preached doesn't escape from you. That the things that the Spirit of God is trying to communicate don't leave after the message is done. But when we don't value the word, we come and listen, and then we walk out and we just leave the message behind. Or we leave it for the Sunday expression, response, but Monday we forget about it. How valuable is the word? I was in Peru a number of years ago with Ainsley, with Compassion. Maybe I've shared this. Please forgive me if I did. But we visited this home of one of the Compassion kids. This very, very simple room, probably 10 feet by about 8 feet. Dirt floors. And so we were there with our small team and this little family with this Compassion girl. And at some point, the Compassion individual said to the little girl, "Hey, could you go get your letters from your sponsor?" And so she ran back and she grabbed her letters and she held them so tightly in this little box. And then the Compassion worker said, "Hey, could we see them?" This little girl held those letters so closely, and she just kind of looked like the person was wearing a ski mask at Becker's. You know, it was just like Max Milk. Becker's doesn't exist anymore. But, like we were a thief. She held it so tightly, and the person's like, "It's going to be okay. Everything's fine." And so she slowly handed it over to the Compassion worker. The Compassion worker opened up this special box, and there were all these letters from her sponsor. And the compassion worker began to pass out. And I could see the little girl. I was watching her. She was looking and she was watching as each letter was passed from person to person, making sure that no letter got slipped into someone's pocket. She watched so carefully. And then when we finished reading them, they were put back in the box and she took them and she held them so tightly to her heart. If you were to go anywhere in Peru with those letters, you could go to any market, you couldn't sell those letters. They had no value. They had no market value of any type. But to her, they were the most valuable thing she owned. Because it was what her sponsors had spoken to her. Words of love, words of encouragement, words of inspiration, words that would motivate her in her life. She found value in the word, and so she held it closely. And when Jesus says that we're to retain the word, he's saying that we need to hold the word of God so close to our heart like it's the most valuable thing that we have. That we need to bring it so close to us, not just come into to a service and hear the word and talk about it for a few moments and then leave and then get on with the day's work or the week's schedule, that we need to grab hold of the word and say, this is precious. God actually was trying to speak to me today. His word was coming alive and I need to hold it so dearly. I need to securely keep it. Something of great value is something that's held so close to us. Look at this text in 2 Timothy. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, what you've heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Paul says to Timothy, look, you need to pay attention to the teachings that have been dispensed to you. And this is what I want you to know, Timothy. I want you to guard that word. I want you to guard those teachings. I want you to keep it so close to you. Keep it secure. Retain it so that no one can steal what God's trying to speak to you about. So how do we keep it? How do we keep it secure? First of all, friends, we need to keep it close. Can I give you a real practical teaching this morning? Some of you walk into church and you hear the word and it escapes you afterwards because that's the way your mind works. It's not something negative, but you would never go into a classroom in high school or college or university, hear the teacher dispense information and just go, yeah, that's good. I'm ready for the exam. No, you would take notes. We don't think about that in church. It's incredible, and I'm speaking to myself, it's incredible how we will pay close attention in a classroom setting to take notes so we're ready for the exam, but we'll come into the house of God to hear something so much more valuable to our life and not do anything to keep it close. To keep it close. Everybody pulls out their pen at this moment. Listen, I'm not trying to slap you on the wrist because there's been moments I've done exactly the same. But I realized in my life that the more I write down the message, the more I pay attention on my iPad, I'll do it all through GLS. Every single session, I'm taking tons of notes so I can keep it close to me. Friends, if it's the Word of God, if this is what we're hearing today, and we want to see growth, we've got to keep it close to our hearts. Keep it close to our hearts. The second thing is that we not only need to keep it close, but we need to revisit it. We need to keep coming back to the Word. It's incredible how often I find myself having heard a message and seeing a little bit of change, just leaving it for a little while, and I find myself a few years down the road over here going, okay, I'm pretty good, and all of a sudden that word comes back here, and I go, oh man, I forgot about it. And the problem is that I haven't continued to revisit the word, revisit it, and it's escaped me. When I was in public school, the one subject besides gym that I was pretty good at was math. And I love numbers. That's why you saw my post on Facebook about Budget Day. I love numbers. I enjoy it so much. And in grade 7, I was part of an enriched class, and we were prepared for national math competitions. And so we took the Pascal math contest, and I'm trying to remember all the rest of them. Anyways, all these different math contests. We would compete nationally, and so our teachers would teach us the basics, and then they would teach us extra stuff, and we would learn the principles and all the basic concepts, and then we would expand upon them, and we keep going back to them and keep going back to them so that when we write the test, we would understand how to approach a problem based upon the things that we had been taught over and over and over again. We did this in grade 7, we did this in grade 8, we did this in grade 9, grade 10, grade 11, and grade 12. For 5 years, 6 years, my teachers would pour into us and we would learn the basics of math over and over and over again. We'd come back to it, keep coming back to it. And because we kept revisiting it, it got close to our hearts so that when we looked at these national math questions, we were able to answer them properly because everything was deep inside of us. Then I switched high schools in grade 13 and went over to Donovan Collegiate. I remember being bored to tears because my teacher would just teach the basics of algebra and geometry. And I remember one test, I'm sure I've shared this before, I remember one test that I actually tried to come up with a new way of doing a math problem. I understood all the basics of how to solve the problem. And Mr. Chung came by and he's like, Mr. Hillier. Anyways, that's the way he sounded. Mr. Hillier, would you? And he comes over to me and he called me the man from O'Neill. He said, Mr. Hillier, would you just do it the basic way? And I said, No. I've got to try something different because this is boring me. And so I used all the principles. And then I messed up the math question and I had to get a bad mark on that part of the test and figured it out later on. But for 7 years, I just kept going back to the things. Then I went to Bible college, and just so you know, I didn't have to use math in Bible college. And then I got into ministry, didn't have to use math a whole lot. And then I found myself having kids. And then Briar needed help with math. And as I'm sitting down with her, I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. I opened the math book, and friends, the truth is, you would never know that I had competed nationally in math. Because I hadn't revisited those formulas and those expressions for years. I had to re-educate myself on the math elements. I had to go back and start to learn. And it frustrated me because there were questions that I could do with my eyes closed, my hands tied behind my back years ago. But I hadn't revisited them. And friends, I want to tell you something. Sometimes that's what we do spiritually. We learn over and over and over again. And then we put it aside. And we don't touch it for years. And we wonder why there's an area of our life that's not producing 30, 60, and 100-fold. We need to keep going back. Keep going back. Retain the word. Get it into us. Revisit us. Just keep going back and back and back again. And so we think carefully. We keep securely. And lastly, we wait patiently. We wait patiently. The Bible, Jesus says to the crowd, hear the word. Retain it, and those who persevere will produce 30, 60, and 100-fold. This word perseverance, we think it's about sticking it through, like just toughing it out. Like when bad times come, we just gotta have a little bit of grit. Just keep pushing through. But what it really means is this: it means to wait patiently, to remain under. I love that part, to remain under, because what waiting upon the word means that you wait under his promises even if you don't see the fruits of his promises. You remain under his teachings and you keep doing it even if you don't see the growth. You just keep doing it. You remain under, this is his rule for my life. This is his teachings for my life. This is what he's asked for me. And there are times I'm doing it and I'm not seeing anything, but I remain under it. I wait patiently till the day I start to see fruit. Last Christmas, I was waiting at Best Buy for Bailey, my oldest son. He wanted the Nintendo NES, the new retro version video game system. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And so I had to get there at 6 o'clock in the morning because they only had like 30 of them. It's like November. It's like negative 8 degrees. And it's 6 o'clock in the morning on my day off. This is the love I have for my son. I hope he's hearing this right now. The willingness to stay outside. And so I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting. Now it's 7 o'clock. Now it's 8 o'clock. Now it's about 8:15 and I'm thinking, okay, the store opens at 9:30. I can stick through 2.5 hours. Angela, she's working that day. She's going to bring me a coffee. And then I hear somebody at the front of the line. And they're talking, and they tell the other person that on this day, the store is not opening till 12:30. And I have to ask myself, how much do I really love my son? Weighing through all the things he's done in the last few weeks. And I want to leave because my hands are going blue and I'm freezing and I'm not enjoying myself. But I know that if I wait patiently, the promise of receiving one of these systems will be realized. And so despite the coldness, I just determined that I'm going to wait. I text Ainsley, told her, she's, what are you going to do? I love Bailey enough. I'm going to stay in line. I'm waiting and I'm waiting. Thank you, Jesus, for what happened next. At 9:30, this store manager comes out. And he realizes that there's people who are lining up and they've only got 30 systems. And that he realizes that we thought the store was opening at 9:30, not 12:30. He says, I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm going to give each of you a number up to the number of systems we have. As long as you're back here by 1 o'clock, you can just hand in this and you can get the system. And at 9:30, I got to go and get coffee and get warm again. It was God moment. But friends, if that God moment hadn't occurred, I would have waited because I had to get something for my son. I had to wait patiently till I received what was promised to me. And when Jesus talks about perseverance, he's talking about waiting till you receive the fruit of the word. Can you imagine if a farmer comes along and plants a seed, puts it in the ground on day one, comes back on day two, and he goes, oh my goodness, there's not even one piece of greenery. It's time to just till the soil. Time to walk around. Wait, this is a bad piece of land. Maybe he comes back a few days, he's got a little bit of patience, and he sees a few little sprouts of greenery. And he thinks to himself, you know what? That's not what I planted for. That's not what I determined that I would get. This is absolutely ridiculous. I'm going to tear this out. And he starts pulling things apart because he has this dream of this great big harvest, but there's only little sprouts of greenery. Or maybe he gets to a place where he's got a pretty decent plant. Most people would be happy, but not him, not the farmer. He's expecting something audacious. He's expecting the hundredfold. And so he tears it apart, digs up the soil, and sells the piece of land because he doesn't get what he had anticipated just because of a lack of patience. You see, friends, there are times in our lives where we hear the word. We're thinking carefully about it. We're retaining it, we're keeping it secure, and we're following through. But if you're like me, there are moments where I'm doing what Jesus has asked me, and I'm not seeing any greenage. Anybody been there? Okay, there's like three of us. I mean, seriously, some of us have been Christians for a long time, and we just keep working and keep working, keep doing it, and going, come on, God, I have been doing the things you've asked me to do, but I'm not seeing any, I'm not even seeing 30-fold. I'm barely seeing half-fold. I'm willing to fold it up. That's what I'm willing to do, God. I'm so frustrated. And God says, just remain underneath my promises. If you just wait patiently. You see, if you don't wait patiently, you're not going to see the 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I promise you this. If you don't wait patiently under the promises of God and you start to do the things he's asked you to do and then you walk away because you don't see the fruit, you don't see the results, you don't see the growth, you will never get 30, 60, or 100-fold in your life because the conditions of your heart are impatient and that's not the soil that God can use for the great things. George Mueller in 1884 sat down one day and he wrote a list of five of his unsaved friends. It was November of 1884. And he determined he was going to pray like crazy for these friends. He wanted to see them get saved. 18 months after he began to pray, 18 months, friend number one got saved. It took a whole 18 months for just one friend. George Mueller continued to pray. And 5 years later, friend number two got saved. I mean, friends, 5 years. This is 6 years and 8 months. And then, or 6 months. 6 years and 6 months. I'm good at math, right? And then 6 years after that, his third friend got saved. And he spent the next 41 years praying for his other two friends. 41 years more praying and praying because he believed in the power of prayer. 41 years looking at the soil and not seeing any green foliage. 41 years of doing the thing that God had asked them to do but not seeing any fruit. 41 years of doing and doing and doing and not seeing the fruit. And friends, the sad reality is that George Mueller spent his whole remaining part of his life praying for these two friends. They never came to Jesus within his life. But shortly after George passed away, both of those men came to Jesus Christ. Both of them came to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, you may not see the results right away of obeying the Word of God. For some of you, tithing is a huge issue because you don't see the results right away. But if you give it long enough, 30, 60, 100 fold. Some of you, you don't understand the power of forgiveness. You've tried it before and people keep hurting you. But 30, 60, 100 fold when you wait patiently. Some of you, holiness has been a struggle for you. You don't get it. It's just the same temptations over and over again. And you want to just throw it away. But Jesus says, wait patiently, 30, 60, 100 fold more like Jesus Christ. We keep doing, waiting patiently, and someday the fruit comes. The fruit comes. Here, retain, persevere. Pastor Steve, would you come back? I came across this story this week, Tim Hansel, in a book called Holy Sweat. Tim Hansel had a friend, older gentleman who was getting ready for his 40th high school reunion. I don't know about you, but whenever I see high school reunions, that doesn't excite me. I don't get excited about going back to see people that I haven't talked to in 40 years. That just doesn't excite me. But this guy was so excited. He began to prepare, save money. He's going to return to the place he hadn't been to in 40 years. The night before he was going to leave for this reunion, he pulled out the yearbook and he began to see the things that had been written, all the pithy statements, all the things that people projected they were going to do with their lives, the person most likely to succeed, the person most likely for this, blah, blah, blah. And he just got so excited. And so Tim drove him to the airport that day. He says, I'll pick you up on Sunday night. And this guy was brimming with excitement. Sunday night, Tim picks him up at the airport and he watches his friend come off the plane, looking quite despondent. He's very perplexed because he had left with incredible excitement, but now he's despondent. And so the man gets in the car and he says, how'd it go? And he says, it was one of the saddest occasions of my life. And Tim looked at him and says, why, what happened? He says, it's not what happened, it's what didn't happen. And he went on to tell him that the people that he saw, who he had gone to school with 40 years ago, that nothing had changed in their lives. They simply got fatter, changed their clothes, and got jobs. But they were the same people they were 40 years ago. And after some driving and some silence, this man turns to Tim and says, hey, that's not the way I want to live my life. If I ever become stagnant, would you please kick my butt for Jesus? Would you please confront me? Because this life is way too sacred. It's way too important. It's way too incredible for me to throw it away. He says, if you ever see me become stagnant, I pray that you would have the courage to confront me so that I would keep growing. So that I would keep growing. Friends, here's my question. Each of us have been in church for X number of years. Maybe some of us are new. Maybe some of us have been here for years. If you were to meet somebody that you knew from 5 years ago, and they saw you today, would they look at your life and say, I see incredible spiritual growth in you? Or would they see the same thing they saw 5 years ago? You see, when we get asked the question, are we growing? Most of us would say, yeah, I'm growing. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm coming to church. I'm trying to volunteer. Yeah, I'm doing okay. But where were you 1 year ago? Where were you 5 years ago? Where were you 10 years ago? Are you seeing just a little bit of growth, or are you seeing 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold? Because the vision that Jesus has for your life is a life that explodes exponentially. So people will look at us and say, there's something happening in that person. There's something happening. God's word's inside of them, and it's growing abundantly and seeing incredible fruit. Are you ready for growth? Are you ready for the word to get inside of you? Then you need to consider every week what's being preached. Every day you open your scripture, you need to consider what God's saying to you to hear it. You need to retain it, keep it close to you, bring it close to your heart, revisit it over and over again. And you need to keep waiting, coming under the promises that God, no matter how many times I try and I don't see the fruit, I believe that you are faithful and that if I keep doing what your word tells me to do, that you will come in and step into my situation and produce not just one other seed, but 30, 60, 100 times more. That's what God wants to do in this place. Ready for growth. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? In just a moment, I'm going to conclude the service in prayer. We always have our prayer team at the front, and they're here if you have any kind of need, a physical, a spiritual, emotional, financial. If you have any kind of need, they're here for you. Maybe you're just kind of checking out this Jesus, and you're not really sure how far into Jesus you want to get, but you're pretty intrigued this morning. I'd encourage you to come up. They're here to pray with you, to talk with you. I'm going to talk to those who are unsaved in just one second, but with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I want to talk to our church people for a second. I'm asking you this morning, are you growing? I asked this about a ministry in the church about a year ago, and some of the people responded in a way that wasn't what I anticipated. I wasn't trying to be offensive. I just want to know whether or not there's a difference between today and last year. Are you growing? Are you seeing new fruit? Are you seeing the fruit of the Spirit in a greater capacity? Are you stretched in your giving? Are you stretched in your serving? Are you praying more? Are you more passionate about Jesus? Are you hungry for more of Him? Are you growing? Is there a difference between today and last year and 5 years ago? And as you wrestle with that question just for a moment, I want your heads bowed, your eyes closed, and that you would just make a fresh commitment to Jesus, saying, Jesus, today I want to be growing. I want 30-fold. I want 60-fold. I want 100-fold. I want the fruit you have for my life. Would you just commit that to Him right now? And while our church members are reflecting on that, you're in this place and you've never given your life to Jesus. You don't really know much about Him. Maybe you came here because you came here as a visitor today. And you've hung out in the church before. You've visited occasionally. Maybe you do it twice a year, Easter and Christmas. I don't know. But you're in this place and you realize that Jesus has something significant for you. You'd say, I want to know Him deeper. I want Him to be in charge of my life because He's amazing. What I'm hearing, what I'm sensing in this place is so incredible. I want to tell you that you can't get any closer to God by yourself. Our sin separates us. But Jesus Christ came to die on a cross for you so that your sins might be covered, so that you could come back into relationship with God. The only way you can get close to God is through Jesus. You say, Pastor, I want to take that route today and accept Jesus as my Savior. No one's looking around. If that's you, just say, I want to give my life to Jesus today. Just raise your hand. Is there anybody in this place? Thank you. Thank you. There's two. Who else? Thank you, sir. I see it. I'm going to encourage, with everybody's heads bowed, your eyes closed, those two people who just raised their hands, if you wouldn't mind just slipping out of your seat, we are just wanting to walk you through the next steps. So church, as we leave this place now, you need to be ready for growth. God is on the edge of heaven looking for 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. The potential is there. What He dreams about for your life is there, that there would be great growth. The people would see you and go, there is something so different about that person. I see Jesus in them more and more. I hear their words. I hear their words and something's changed. They're growing. That's the dream that God has for you today. And so, Jesus, as we leave this place, I pray that you would grow us. I pray that we would hear your word. We'd think about it carefully. That, God, we would understand the reason and the expectation upon us. I pray that you would help us to retain your word, that we keep it close, that we would revisit it. And I pray that we would wait patiently under your promises. No matter how many times it feels like we don't see the fruit, let us keep persevering, because when we keep going in due season, we will reap fruit that comes from you. Let our lives grow. Let us explain to people what you are doing and let people see it inside of us. We are so thankful for your word. Now bless this congregation as they leave this place. Use them today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.